Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal, the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Would like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Sony Pictures. They're featuring the movie Smurfs, The Lost Village. You can check out the Christian study guide for this movie on our show page at halandmelanie.com/radio and find out more about the movie at affirmfilms.com. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. We are busily getting ready for our next trip, and so you may be hearing the sounds of our printer in the background because it runs a lot.
All the time.
This is what we do before we go to conferences. But yeah, regardless.
You know, and usually we have a printer breakdown, so I'm hoping that doesn't happen this time.
No, we had a Windows 10 update that delayed this for a very long time. But at any rate, we're here now, and technology is working with us again. So,
well, more or less, the washing machine is now working again. Y'all, what is it about appliances and computers and printers breaking when we're getting ready to go on a trip?
You know, the washing machine just died last time we went on it. We just got back from a long trip. We did five events. There were two homeschool conferences, a men's conference, and two local meetings that we did in a, what, 2.5 week trip?
Yes.
And, wow, that was a good shakedown for this season. But the few days right before we left, the last load or two that we needed to get through the washing machine said, I'm done. And we just had to say, all right then, fine, and make do with what we had. But so we came back to it.
So we get home and listen.
Yep.
If you've got a big family, you know a washing machine is not a nice to have.
The last time
I took things to the laundromat, it was like $140.
And ain't nobody got time for that. And so, we got our part today, and I spent most of the morning getting it into the washing machine, and it seems to be working again. Praise God. And so,
you're awesome, Hal.
Well, God is awesome. And so, anyway, let's go on to the subject at hand. This episode, well, okay, here's some more backstory. We are planning a wedding.
Well, we're planning the rehearsal dinner because our son is getting married.
Well, we're planning for his wedding.
Yes.
And in
the middle of conference season,
right,
what were we thinking? We should have just said, no way, kids.
We told him Christmas. We told him to go for a Christmas wedding. But anyway, that's fine.
Anyway.
We're cool. So we're catering part of this wedding. So we've got all kinds of planning going on. And, you know, in all of these kind of things, it's always good to kind of ask, does the Bible give us any kind of guidance on this? Well, it doesn't give us much guidance on what colors to choose or how to decorate. But, you know, the Bible does say a lot about celebrations.
Really, there are a ton of celebrations in the Word of God, a ton of feasts. And I really like this because you know how I love parties, Hal.
Right.
You know how I love to entertain, how I love hospitality. And when I look at the Word of God, I see a lot of example of it.
Well, we have, I mean, for one thing, God actually commanded. He commanded some feasts and some celebrations.
Several of them.
Well, the big one to me is Passover, because it has so many examples of things that are typical of a biblical celebration, if you will, a biblical feast. But if you go look in Exodus chapter 12, you see when God institutes the Passover celebration. You know, this is right when he's about to liberate the people by this final judgment on Egypt, and there's going to be a remarkable move of God's Spirit there, and he wants them to always remember this. He wants them to always celebrate it and to think back and to think about the God who set them free from bondage. And so, you know, actually, we're coming up into that time of year right now. But it's interesting to read that, and I'll just recommend you go to Exodus chapter 12 and see how God instituted the fact of the celebration, the food, the fact that it centers around a meal, and the fact that it centers around another aspect, which is the memorial. Why are we celebrating? What is the purpose of this? And it's something we're supposed to talk about.
You know, one thing that is interesting to me, how looking at the feast of that God instituted in the Old Testament, is just that there are quite a few of them, and he commanded that people take off from their work and that they take time to celebrate and remember the things that God had done.
And they were centered around the community and around individual families.
Yes.
You know, that it was meant to be that sort of a coming together type of event. And so, that's the first thing I see there, is that God commanded some celebrations. That celebrations, and in fact, feasting is something that God commends. Now, you know, he does say there's a time for feasting, there's a time not to be feasting. It's not to be, you know, an everyday sort of thing. But when it's time to celebrate, I mean, God pulls out all the stops.
Okay, now that's what really has annoyed me for many years. About every year around the holidays, somebody comes out with a guide to a lighter Thanksgiving feast or, you know, a diet Christmas feast. I'm like, no, diet all year long. But when it comes time to celebrate, okay, so you remember when Nehemiah gathered the people and read the law and the people repented, they were sad.
Yeah, this is when the exiles first came back to Jerusalem and they all gathered together as one big congregation. And it says, it specifically says it included even the nursing children, even the nursing babies. It was the men and the women and the children and anybody who could listen with understanding, but even the little babies were involved. The whole congregation was there and the people wept. You know, they wept because here they are back in the promised land and they're hearing God's word read out plainly and clearly in the public square and they're overcome with it. And it's interesting that Nehemiah and the Levites that were working with him said, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. Go your way. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength."
Now, I just love that.
I love that too, because it just sounds like Christmas to me.
Well, it does. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those who don't have anything.
You know, there's a good precedent for our common holiday practice, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, and so the rich food and all that kind of thing for the purpose of celebration, God commends it, okay? And so that's a good thing.
And we see that pattern again and again in Scripture.
Right.
You know, that there were, what, 6 or 7 feasts that the Lord commanded that they celebrate. And then, you know, in Esther, when the Jewish exiles were rescued from when Haman tried to kill all of them.
Yeah, basically their deliverance from genocide.
Yeah, they had a huge feast, and the Jews have celebrated that since then as the Feast of Purim.
Yep. And so you see a lot of celebrate, and you know what? And there's weddings in the Bible too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of marriages in the Bible that we don't know anything about the celebration, but it's interesting that the very first miracle that's recorded in Scripture, in fact, it says right there in John chapter 2, this was the beginning of Jesus' miracles, was the wedding at Cana, when Jesus turned water into wine. And I'm very impressed with the fact that he turned water into wine, and when the steward of the feast, the wedding planner, if you will, tasted this new source of wine that he didn't know where it came from, he said, "Wow, this is the good stuff. Why didn't you serve it first?" I'm thinking,
that kind of does away with that theory that it wasn't alcoholic wine.
I just think it's, yeah, because, and, you know, well, that's another discussion. But
that's another discussion, and we don't drink because, there's a history of alcoholism in our family.
But I just think, I think it's neat that Jesus went to a wedding and he aided the celebration.
Yes.
You know, if there was anything bad about what was going on there, he either wouldn't have been there or he wouldn't have been part of it. But yet, it's like Jesus catered part of it, and he brought the best wine.
Yes, and so he brought the good stuff.
And so, okay, so all of this to say that there is plenty of room for Christians to celebrate.
Right.
And I think with good examples in Scripture, with good encouragement in Scripture, and you know what?
Now, there's some warnings, too, about celebration, though.
Okay.
Because, you know, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." You know, that definitely they used wine and it was real wine, but we're not supposed to be getting drunk.
True. Okay.
And you know, it says, "Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." You know, there are things in there that there's warnings and concerns about it, but
the people who abuse the occasions, people who are just use it as occasions for gluttony and for nothing else.
But when I look at the biblical celebrations, I see feasting, you know, eat the fat, sweet, choice meats, good wine.
Yeah.
and music and singing.
Right, right.
And teaching and, you know, remembering what God has done is a big part of biblical celebrations. You know, that we want to honor the Lord in our celebrations. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's something we're going to do a party this weekend in celebration of our son and his soon-to-be bride.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that I want us to do is I want us to lay hands on him and pray over him.
Right.
You know, all his friends and family from back here to, you know, to pray over these two and pray for God's blessing for them.
Yeah, and this is a really important event for us because they met at college and his fiance's home is very close to where they went to school. And so the wedding is going to be quite some distance from our own home. So our local church really is not going to have quite the opportunity to come and to bless them on the occasion. So we're really glad that they're going to be coming to our area, and our friends who are not going to be able to make that long trip are going to be able to offer their blessings and to offer their prayers up there and all the rest of that. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun,
yeah.
And I think it's going to be a very moving occasion as well. And so, you know what? It's going to be Christ-centered. And that's the thing, you know, we're coming back and we're going to be talking about all of these kind of blessings that God has given us, and in this case, the blessing of marriage, and the glory is going to reflect back to Him.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's the goal. You know, the goal is to celebrate, to enjoy the good gifts that God has given us in a way that glorifies God.
Right. So, we, you know, we want to think about this as we go in for our celebration. I need to mention all the also. You know, it's interesting. Now, my theological background and some of my family background goes back to the Puritans in the 1600s. And, you know, they were known for being very opposed to some of the celebrations of their day. I mean, even observance of Christmas or the resurrection, the Puritans were not big fans of it. But, you know, the reason for that was that they were trying to purify the practices of the Church of England, which they had left behind, and exactly what had happened there was that, you know, it had become occasions for great show and pomp and overindulgence and debauchery, and it had lost any sort of flavor of sanctity to it. And also, the fact of the matter was, it's not commanded. And the Puritans were very, very careful, and they were very scrupulous about saying, we should only be doing as a religious occasion those things which are commanded. Okay, that's where they came from. And that if anybody says that, then you can understand why the Puritans had that opinion. But you know what? What I see in Scripture over and over and over again, I do see lots of celebrations. And I see celebrations that are not not religious in nature. You know, there were great feasts when a king was crowned. You know, there were feasts of all sorts of things. And that's an interesting thing, too, that the Puritans, you know, excuse me, the Puritans did celebrate. Did you know this? They had big celebrations for Election Day when they voted for new rulers.
How interesting.
And that was a big deal for them.
Well, it was a big deal in my family growing up. We had celebrations on Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
We would always have a party and have party food and stuff.
And so like days for mustering the militia, you know, for bringing all the men together for drill and for, you know, their instructions for the year and to pray over them, give them a sermon. So that was a big civic celebration, and the Puritans embraced that idea and promoted it. So, you know, don't let anybody tell you the Puritans were just killjoys. No, they just had very definite opinions about things. And I think that we see historically, as well as in Scripture, plenty of opportunities to have a religious-based observance or to have an observance of something that gives us joy in our lives with thankfulness to the God who gives us all good gifts.
Okay.
And so that's kind of where I'm coming with that. Now, it looks like we're coming up on time. We need to take a break here. We have a new sponsor this week.
Yes.
For the next few weeks, the rest of this month, we are going to be hearing from the sponsor you're about to hear from.
All right.
Okay. And so join us on the other side of the break, and we're going to go into some more details.
The Blue Crew is back.
Let's go have some fun.
In their first fully animated adventure.
Nailed it.
To escape a dangerous, undiscovered world, the Smurfs will have to team up with a whole new tribe.
A village full of girls.
Hey. I'm freaking out, you guys.
Smurfs. Smurfs, The Lost Village, rated PG, exclusively from Affirm Films. Get a free Bible-based discussion guide. Visit AffirmFilms.com to download it for free and enjoy great discussions with your whole family about the importance of purpose, friendship, honesty, and loyalty, as seen in Smurfs, The Lost Village, now playing.
Okay, well, thanks for the word from our sponsor there, and we appreciate you sticking around for us. Let's talk a little more specifics about some celebration ideas, and you know, how do we do this in our own family? Because we try to be intentional about things.
Okay, well, part of it is trying to incorporate the teaching that we, you know, I feel very frustrated with the way, for example, Thanksgiving is celebrated, because people go out, they go and they eat, and then they just stare at the TV. And yet that's a very important holiday to remind us that this country was started in search of a place to worship God.
And that was another one that the Puritans also celebrated, you know.
Yes, they did.
They did. Thanksgiving was something that they did celebrate. Well,
and so, you know, yeah. What are some things that we do to do that is we plan in advance. You know, like on Christmas Eve, we always read the Christmas story aloud.
Right. We
sing Christmas carols.
Luke chapter 2, we read maybe some of the prophecies from Isaiah and from other places.
At Thanksgiving, we have that poem that the youngest child that can read always reads.
Well, yeah.
Five Kernels of Corn. And
well, we always talk about why we have this celebration of Thanksgiving. What was the real origin of the American Thanksgiving? We talk about the pilgrims. We talk about the starving time and about God preserving them through that all of that difficult time. And then one of the things that we do is there's a poem by, Hezekiah Butterworth, I believe?
Yes, Hezekiah Butterworth.
That's right. It's called Five Kernels of Corn, because during the latter part, before the Thanksgiving season, you know, before the crops came in, the only thing they could spare from their seed was like five kernels of corn per person per day.
Yeah.
Everything else they had to go out and shoot or find it in the stream. Or
they ate eels.
Dig it up in the forest. They had to forage for everything else.
But that was
the only grain they had. And so he wrote this poem about five kernels of corn and talks about their patience under the suffering and the trials they went through.
But the starving time, a bunch of them died that winter.
Well, like half of their population.
Right.
And yet God preserved the rest, and he established his people here on this continent. And, you know, we celebrate that. And we are still thankful.
And so, like, when people come to the table, there are five kernels of corn on the table.
Yeah.
At each place to remind them that, you know, our forefathers made huge sacrifices to come to this country because it was so important to them that they be able to worship and to raise their children mm-hmm. as they believed God would have them to do.
Because they had freedom to worship when they were in Holland,
right,
but they were losing their children to the culture around them.
A lot of people don't know that. They fled from England to Holland,
right,
because in England they were being arrested for worshiping differently than the established church did at the time.
That's right.
They went to Holland where they had freedom of worship, but they felt like they were losing their kids to the culture.
Yep.
And they wanted to raise their children immersed in the Word of God. And so they came to the New World.
Mm-hmm.
And they landed at the wrong time of year at the wrong place. They were aiming for Virginia.
Yep. And there's a long way from Virginia to Massachusetts, especially in November. Thank you very much.
Yes. And it's a lot harder to live through a winter in
right.
Massachusetts than it is in Virginia.
Right.
And so, yeah, they had a starving time. They barely survived. And then when they got to the next harvest, they were so grateful. You know, the Indians had helped them.
Mm-hmm.
God had provided. They had been able to bring in crops. That they had a Thanksgiving, a time to give thanks to God, and they had a huge feast. They had sports.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they had foot races, and they had shooting games.
Well, and see, that's another discussion there. We talk about that in our book, Raising Real Men, about a Puritan view of games and recreation. And it's amazing. The things that we don't know about those people is remarkable. And
it is.
They were, but that's another discussion. At any rate, yeah, they had a big, they made a festival out of it.
So let's talk about some ways some other holidays can look.
Well, how about Independence Day, the 4th of July? Typically American holiday. It's not a church holiday. What do we do with that?
Well, we've been given a lot of blessings in this country. We have freedom that very few people in the world have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we read the Declaration of Independence. We talk about how our country started and why.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the founding documents of our country. And we eat good old American food. We do a cookout or something.
Right.
Or barbecue.
Yeah.
And, you know, at Easter, we talk about Jesus' death and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, birthdays, we celebrate birthdays differently than a lot of people do
well,
too.
Well, we've got a large family, and we decided early on that it was kind of a, it would be sort of a burden on the community to have 8 of our children being invited around, or somebody feeling like, oh, I've got to go to all 8 of these birthdays every year. It's going to bankrupt us just buying presents for them. So we kind of decided to do it a little differently. And in our family, of course, we got so many of us anyway, we have a pretty good party, and it's just our immediate family. But things that we do, like, for example, we set a tradition a long time ago that the birthday child, with a little bit of guidance, gets to choose the menu for the day. So what do you want for breakfast on your birthday? What do you want for lunch on your birthday? What do you want for your birthday dinner? And I tell you what, our kids, you know, our boys in particular, have always thought, man, that is the best part of my birthday, that I get to choose whatever I want.
You know, I remember 2 young men who mm-hmm. celebrated their birthdays in China, like on the Great Wall, and having a huge feast.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, their question
was, well,
can I choose my meals when I get home?
Yeah,
are we going to have our birthday celebration when I get home? And so, well, okay. But that's not all we do.
No, because there's a teaching aspect as well. Because, see, what do we do for the dinner? The conversation is memories of the person who's being celebrated.
Yes.
And then after the dinner,
everybody shares memories, everybody, from the important to the silly, you know.
Yeah. And then after that, we move from the dining room to the living room, and we all sit about and...
Well, we open gifts.
Yes, we'll open the gifts. And then we talk about the person who's being honored. And we ask, what is it? Give us one thing that you love or respect or admire or appreciate about the person whose birthday we celebrate.
Listen, folks, you can hardly imagine how precious this is. You got to try this. Mm-hmm. Everybody was nervous when we first started doing it. We start with the youngest person so that their idea doesn't get taken.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the youngest person. Just ask each person going around the room to share something that they appreciate about the person whose birthday we're celebrating.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. It is so amazing.
I mean, we get these big old guys in tears sometimes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It is so amazing, because to hear what each different person in the family appreciates about you, I tell you what, I've been the birthday person when we've done that, and it floors you.
Well, you know what? In our busy lives and in the hostile world that we live in, we don't hear that kind of open and effusive praise very often. You know, we really don't have people say, here, I just want you to sit here and let me tell you how I love you.
And especially your siblings, because, you know, they tend mm-hmm. to tease you a lot. And our rule is that if you don't handle this part right, you don't get any cake and ice cream.
Right. Okay. So
we've never had to do
it.
That. But, you know, because some... Yeah, they go through that silly stage.
Yeah.
And
But we'll do that, and then we'll go around the room and pray for this person in just like a sentence. You know, it doesn't have to be a 20-minute prayer from each person,
but we start with the youngest person.
Yeah.
So that it's easiest for them. We start with the youngest person.
Right.
And everybody just prays maybe a sentence or two for them. And mm-hmm. it is, you know... One of our boys said that when mm-hmm. he went back to school after experiencing this,
yeah,
that one of his friends said, you know, I don't know what it is, but every time you come home, you go home, you come back and you seem to be like, I don't know, bigger than life. Like you, but more you.
Mm-hmm.
You're so confident. So happy when you've been home.
Mm.
And see, that's what we want. That's what we want for our children. We want our home to be a place that builds them up and edifies them, to make them more themselves in the Lord, you know?
Well, you know, maybe our first motivation for celebrations is to be giving glory back to God.
Yes.
Thanking Him for His gifts. But so much, the second motivation for us is to bless our family, to create memories in our family, to share something together that we all rejoiced over, that we can look back and... You know, and when we're separated, when times are tough, you know, in later years, we can say, you know what? That was sweet. It was really sweet for us to be together and to share with and to bless one another the way we did. And, you know, I think we probably all can look back to our childhood and remember a special Christmas. But for us, it's a special Christmas and a special Thanksgiving and a special birthday for everybody in the family. And it's something that is just like a constant recharge on our batteries through the course of the year.
It is.
And so, you know, we want to encourage you. Now we're going into the Resurrection Sunday here, and, you know, it's the Easter season, and so there's a lot of stuff going on, and frankly, a lot of secular stuff that's gotten tacked on, and traditions and things, and, you know, some
and
of those...
you can celebrate those or not, whatever you're comfortable with, you know.
Well, I think
some things we do, some things we don't, and, you know, I don't think it matters about that.
Well,
one thing we do is that we're very careful to tell the story. To make sure our kids understand why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that we recognize, too, that this is an area that specifically we're supposed to give one another some grace about. You know, if you're reading Romans chapter 14, when Paul is talking about, you know, tension in the early church between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers and the Jews who were trying to redefine how they understood their relationship with God, and there was tension about, well, how should we celebrate the Jewish feast days? And Paul said, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks. And the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. You know what?
And so
that tells us...
it's okay.
It's all right. You can choose here, and you can have the liberty, as long as you remember that you've got to give that grace to fellow believers as well.
And, you know, we've had friends who did not celebrate any special days, and I understand that. And some that didn't celebrate holidays, but every Sabbath day, every Sunday, which is when they celebrated the Sabbath, was like a celebration to them. And that's okay. You know, I like holidays, Hal, because it reminds me to tell our kids the stories. You know, I love celebrating birthdays the way that we do, because what if we didn't take the time to tell the people in our family how much we appreciate them and what we love about them? You know, it's a day to remind us of that. And
our kids, I think, probably know their birth story better than most children do, just because we talk about it every time at the birthday. We talk about
tell them their story.
The anticipation of before their birth and the circumstances surrounding it and everybody's welcoming response when we brought them home for the first time and all of the rest of that. And, you know, that, like I said, that is one of the purposes of these celebrations, to gather together and to establish memories, to establish checkpoints in our heads and in our hearts. And that's what I think is really good about it. So we do want to encourage you, you know, embrace this idea. Go ahead, celebrate, enjoy yourselves. God gives us these blessings. And you know what? Somebody asked Jesus, well, the Pharisees' disciples fast, you know, John the Baptist fast. Why aren't yours fasting? And Jesus said, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. And that's, you know what, that's recorded in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke. I think God wanted us to understand that there's a time to celebrate, there's a time to fast, but they're not continuous on either side.
No, and we're in a time now there are times that we should be fasting and praying. There are times that we should be celebrating.
Well, we hope that you will celebrate. We enjoy the opportunity to speak with you and hope that you will join us again as we seek to apply biblical standards and biblical truth to the 21st century family to make it practical in your home.
And Hal?
Yes?
Can we be a few days early about this? When Sunday comes, we use the traditional greeting on Easter that the church has been using for hundreds and hundreds of years.
He is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Absolutely. So we hope you all have a joyful Resurrection Sunday, or whatever holiday is coming up next, and we hope that you remember why we celebrate, to glorify God and to build those memories into our homes. Look, we do appreciate you being with us. If you'd like to become a regular supporter, come out and see us on Patreon at patreon.com/HalandMelanie. And we hope that you'll join us again next week as we talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks, and God bless you for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.